listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Show enough!
Am I the baddest mofo go down around this time?
Show enough!
Well, who am I?
Show enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. Issue 87 of Geek Watch 1. We're sitting here back in the basement. Or wait, wrong place. We are in the basement, but it's a different basement. We're in the Motherwave Creation Studios.
That's right.
It's the show always feels weird if we're not in the studio.
It does, a little bit.
I mean, Skype is fun, and it works for what we need once in a while, but this is the home of Geek Watch 1.
Yep.
So, what have you guys been doing this week? Did you finally recover from the ick?
Mostly, not entirely. It's one of those icks that everyone has sitting around for 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. I know more than that. Mine from November is still not 100% gone.
It's the weather. It's messing with everybody.
Yeah. As I've heard it before, and I think we've said it on here, Mother Nature's drunk again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We had at least 3 seasons this past week.
Yes.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
So, what have we done this week, Vicky? I don't remember.
A lot? Yeah. Not a lot?
I know, I recorded last night. You're recording all the time now.
Yeah.
Life is getting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Geek Watch 1 is getting crazy. We've mentioned each time, but it's like it only takes a couple seconds to say, we got a bunch of stuff coming up, Geeksters.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not even going to go through it all again.
No, not describing. Just remember, the next thing we got coming up is Groundhog Day Gaming on November. I have it written down and I messed it up. It's in January 27th through the 29th in Hudson, Ohio. We're going to try to do some Facebook live streaming, hopefully from there or something. Mm-hmm. I guess the way it's been described, someone was telling me that Facebook Live is trying to push this so much that if you do a live stream, they start promoting it for you for free.
Yeah.
Because they want people to
get on
this.
Well, the thing is,
you
have Facebook Live and you also have Instagram Live now.
Oh.
Instagram allows live movies.
Interesting. Yep. I didn't know Instagram had movies. I thought
it
was pictures.
Oh, yeah. You've always been able to put up videos. And you can do what they have called stories, which is a bunch of different photos in a row, like a slideshow almost. You can do that. But now they're doing live stuff, too.
Huh. So what's the difference between Instagram and Snapchat now?
I don't know, because I don't really use Snapchat.
Well, I know Snapchat has, like, the short, like,
Snapchat has always been instant. Like, it's not saved like Instagram is.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's snap. Like, you have the photo, and in a certain amount of time, it goes away.
Oh, okay.
And you can broadcast stuff to, like, all your followers, or just speak individually with people, like a chat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
So, basically, Facebook and now Instagram. Actually, I think, isn't Instagram somehow linked to Facebook
I don't think they
kind of like Twitter or Periscope.
They don't quite have the same owners yet, but all Twitter and Instagram and Facebook are all getting connected in some ways now. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
which is good for promoting if you're lazy and clicking it sends to everybody.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. Luckily, I got to the point where it's like, for my other show, I was doing okay putting up the shows as I post them, but I've let Vern start to do that, and he's doing a lot better. He's on social media a lot more than I am.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he puts up the shows once I actually do all the other work for it. But after that, we have the 2-year Meeplecast coming up, the 2-year mm-hmm. anniversary Meeplecast. That's, what, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Yep.
And I didn't do it yet. I was planning on doing it. I ran out of time this morning. I was going to figure out where episode 100 for us is, because we've only got, what,
it's
12,
couple,
13
couple
more episodes.
Ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be late spring. We're getting 100 episodes.
Yep.
That is a huge milestone in podcasting.
It is.
So, we're going to have to do something special.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what.
But, and then just don't forget the Meeple, the Oddball, coming up in February. Go to eyeball.info for all the information on that. We actually sat down and knocked out the whole schedule for it. We have a full entertainment schedule ready to go.
Cool. Full panel schedule, too.
Good. Yeah, Andy said you had just sent him all the info for it.
Yeah.
But I'll make it new things.
And there and there's a couple cool make and takes if you want to bring a little extra cash. There's a couple cool things to make.
Yeah.
One there's one each day, isn't it? Like
a three hour
make and take each day.
There's a possible two on one day and one on the next day, but there's definitely one each day.
Yeah, I know our friend Rob Turk, his wife, Rebecca, actually doing two. She's not doing a sock monkey this time, she's something else.
Yeah,
she's got two different ones.
She's doing sock and glove. This is my understanding.
A glove puppets or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other one is Steve from Claude Raymond Design. He's doing his goblin trophy head.
Oh,
yeah. Take.
So. Yeah, I need to confirm with him, but is hopefully we can get him. There were a couple things that were needing to lock down for him to say yes, but hopefully we can lock him down. And so, yeah, so you can make a goblin head and take it home.
Well, the other big one that people have been asking since Oddball has gone to all these other shows and since we've started expanding Oddball was more costume stuff. Because we have a costume contest every Saturday, but then Sunday, people come in cosplay, and that's just, hey, we're here in cosplay. Well, this show, we're actually having two costume contests, one on Saturday afternoon and one on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't make it Saturday, still come Sunday, then we have a second costume contest.
Yeah.
Right.
Or come both days dressed and just...
Yeah, dress in different costumes. Don't come in the same costume both days, because that's kind of like cheating if you show up Sunday.
Yeah.
Come in a different costume.
But I know my niece lives out in the middle of nowhere, but all of her friends are part of a costuming group that they've formed in their high school.
Oh,
and she's trying to get them to all come down and do
stuff. Hey, it's almost an easy win if you come as a group, because... Often there's just one group in the competition, so they automatically win.
Yeah.
So we need more groups. We want group cosplays.
Yeah, we like group cosplay.
The other one with all your cosplayers come out. Also, if you're in a band or you just have a guitar and play music, send us an email at oddmalls.info has all the information on how to do it. Do you know Oddmalls website or email? I don't know it off the top of my head, but Mike McFarland and I are looking for entertainers for the rest of the year. I mean, we have enough we can fill out the schedule, but we don't want to have the guys doing more than one set if we don't have to.
Right.
Because this show, the only one we have doubled up is Mike is doing two sets. And Gandersnitch is actually doing two shows, but that's normal because he has two separate shows.
And if you can't find the Oddmall address, you can always send it to geekwatch1@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'll forward it. And if you have a link to your stuff online, or if you can send a file with an MP3... Because honestly, although we're open to a lot of music, there's some music that's just not entirely family friendly and appropriate for shows like this.
Well,
we're not looking for, you know, thrash metal.
Thrash metal's good stuff. If you got a metal band,
No. For those of us who have to sit in the room and listen to it, thrash metal's not happening at Oddmall. I don't care.
Well,
I will pull the plug on the acoustics if that happens.
There's even some bands that we love that come to like Con the Cop, like 2D6. Really, they're an awesome band, but really they're not as conducive to like an Oddmall family crowd.
No, that's why they're at Con the Cop late night.
Yes. So but send us your info. Send us and let us know what's going on. We'll contact you and see what we can do.
And we do have information that Andy has let slip about another Oddmall.
Yes.
We all know that we have in May, we have the original Oddmall, which is in Akron. Well, on May 20th, there is going to be an outdoor Oddmall called the Riverside Ramble down in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Andy's actually counting this as his outdoor one this year.
This is the outdoor one. No, because the other one is going to be indoor.
July Oddmall
will probably be happening.
Yeah.
But that's all we have
telling anything else about that.
But the
Riverside Ramble is outdoors in Canton, and he's only just given a little hint of it so far. The website is not fully operational yet, so we'll be giving more information as it comes, and we'll have stuff posted on Facebook and stuff.
Well, this is going to be awesome. It's only a one-day show.
Yes.
Right.
But this is, if anybody remembers, last year we did the Oddmall working with the Cube Club.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we described this game so everybody could see what it was? Well, this is working with them again, but they've moved from where they were, which is really a bad location, to basically down. Anybody who's been to Canton, Ohio, and knows they have the big President McKinley Monument, they have this giant park that runs along a creek right beside it. It's, 2-3 miles long?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is going to happen in that park underneath the McKinley Monument.
Right.
And Andy said he has almost the entire park he can use if he wants.
Yeah, right. It's much bigger than the Coop Club one from last year.
But we will have a full entertainment schedule, unlike the Coop Club one. They will be playing Coop all day up on the soccer fields.
This is not like the Coop Club one, where it was more like Andy was invited at the last minute to bring some vendors. This is Odd Mall is organizing, basically, and there's going to be the Coop Club there. So it's basically like the usual Odd Mall stuff, like the Hudson one last year with the vendors and the food trucks and the entertainment and all the stuff going on there.
Well, the nice thing, unlike...
Canton loves Andy.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was going next, is the nice part this time is Andy, when we did the Hudson one, had to do everything logistically.
Right.
He had to make sure there was restrooms. He had to make sure that there was power for everybody.
And parking.
And the bus and the cops and everything else. Well, the city is doing all of the basic logistics stuff. So Andy just has to come in, set up, and do an oddball.
Yep.
It's nice to be loved.
Yes. The city of Canton wants him in there as much as possible.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I think he was saying because during the entertainment schedule, we had to figure out so we knew what we were going to do for that show. I think he's extending that to 7 o'clock. Okay. It's going to go 10 a.m. to 7 instead of 10 to 6.
Okay.
Which is nice, because we do want to try to get out of there before dark. Because you don't want to be in Canton after dark.
Don't tell people that!
No. Before dark, before the sun goes down, you're fine.
Shh, don't tell the vampires.
All the vampires hide in those hills. Well, you've seen the creek and the giant hillside, right? There's caves in those hillsides. All the vampires are in there.
It's like Lost Boys. Those I Am Legend zombie vampires. That's right.
And Bigfoot.
Yeah. No, it's like Lost Boys, where during the day everything's fine. At night, everybody dies.
That's right. We're not saying everyone dies in Canton, okay? Canton, don't go taking it the wrong way.
Canton knows we love them. We go down there for, what, 2 oddballs, a third one now?
That's right.
But that's where we're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have anything else for GeekWatch 1 news? Anything coming up that you can think of? New t-shirts or anything else?
No, that covers it for now.
Okay. Well, do go out and check out. We don't talk about it very often, so check out. We're at TeePublic, right?
Yep.
TeePublic.com. Look up GeekWatch 1. We have t-shirts.
We do. And TeePublic now has mugs, both regular and travel mugs, and notebooks, and iPhone covers, and I believe laptop cases. They have like a bit of everything now.
Nice.
So, and honestly, we don't set prices for TeePublic at all. They set their own prices, so they're obviously overpriced. So just wait until there's a sale.
Not too much, though.
On t-shirts, maybe not, but on the rest,
okay.
It's like 12, $12 for a notebook. Ridiculous.
Yeah, how much are the travel mugs? Because I just broke mine at work.
No, the travel mugs are like 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're ridiculous prices.
Hey, I was at Sears yesterday, and that's about the price they had them at Sears.
Well, Sears. So there you go. If you want to invest the 20, invest it in our logo stuff.
Yeah.
But wait till there's a sale. They put sales on their site every couple months, so, you know, we try to post when there's sales, or at least put on Twitter or something, so.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want our
usually
swag.
Usually their sales are like 50% off, aren't they?
20 to 30 times? Usually, yeah.
Okay. Makes it almost affordable.
It makes it worth it, and it definitely pays for the shipping, the few bucks shipping. So
yeah. So, but that's all the logistics and everything. I think. Mm-hmm. I think this show, we sat down, Geeksters, and we realized, you know what? We're just gonna sit back and have a catch up on what's going on in the show, basically.
There's a lot of little snippets of news that came out past week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we found out we could start off here because we were talking right before the show started that you guys are almost caught up on Vikings finally, this season of the Vikings. We don't talk Vikings much, but this show is awesome. All 4 of us love the show.
Yes.
It is crazy. So, where do we want to go with Vikings? I don't remember where we stopped at.
We can do Vikings after we do bits of news, though.
Yeah.
Okay, we can.
Let's do some news first.
Okay, well, here, why don't you guys start off?
Okay, well, it's funny because you mentioned Lost Boys.
I did see the comics out.
And there's the comics are... I've actually gotten the comics. I think they're up to issue 3 or 4. But there's a few more details about the Lost Boys TV series that's being worked on, if you remember. Rob Thomas is doing it, the one who did Veronica Mars.
Not the Matchbox 20 Rob Thomas?
Everyone knows it's not the Matchbox Comics Rob 20. Rob Thomas, when you talk about geek stuff. All those marshmallows out there are going to come after you, and those are Veronica Mars fans, in case you didn't know that.
Well, it just wasn't my... Veronica Mars, I have no problem with it, and I understand the general premise. It just wasn't my type of show.
It's a detective show for girls. I understand. It's kind of like the Gilmore Girls. It's like, no. But anyway, he talks about the fact that Rob Thomas, like, he's always loved The Lost Boys. And he loves the original story. And he wants to basically not take too many liberties with it. He wants to continue from where the movies were. Because there were, you know, a couple of bad sequels. But he wants to basically take it from the original movie. And continue from there. And it's back to vampires being bad. Like, in Lost Boys, vampires were not good.
Yeah.
They were not good. They were evil, like the traditional vampire.
That's because Lost Boys was before Interview with the Vampire.
That's true.
If you notice, that was about good. That's mm-hmm. about where the line changed. Mm-hmm. Where instead of this evil monster, the vampires were monsters before that, all of a sudden they became this sympathetic, misunderstood creature exactly. that's cursed with this thing.
Yes, exactly. So
they became more of a romantic anti-hero.
We're going to the return of the I guess you could almost say horrific vampires. If you've seen Lost Boys, you know the feel.
Yeah.
And he's going to stick with the whole kind of, well, as he called it, Peter Pan notion of it, where once you join this crew of vampires, once you're turned, you never have to grow up. It's not just a matter of being immortal, but you can have fun all the time and you can cause havoc. And that's basically what they did in the movies. They caused havoc all the time at night. And so he's going to stick with that, which I'm glad, like, because, you know, so many of these adaptations you get on television, they decide to tweak little things and change it. And
yeah.
The original Lost Boys, although it's, you know, it's a little dated to watch, but it's really a good story.
Oh,
it's
I
a
love
good,
that
it's
movie.
A good telling of these at gangs least one... of vampires. It's not just everyone's all joined together.
Mm. That's one of those at least once a year you got to pop it in yeah. and watch. And if nothing else, just for the soundtrack.
That's true. It did have a good soundtrack. So there you go. Those are the little bit of details that have come out.
Okay.
They still don't have production times and releases and stuff like that. It's still a development sort of thing. But it's actually moving along, and you know it hasn't disappeared, so that's good.
Cool. Well, the first one I had actually was Lucasfilm and Disney have actually responded to fans for once. Usually they don't put out press releases and stuff because of what fan response is doing something. Now, since Carrie Fisher died a couple weeks ago. That sucks. We know that she had finished Episode 8 of Star Wars.
Yes.
Okay, well, it finished principal photography. I'm sure they're going to have to do some digital tweaking or something, depending on if they have to do any rewrites or anything like that. But that's easy stuff. That's not anything crazy. But a lot of fans were wondering, what are we going to do for Episode 9? Are they going to kill off Princess Leia? Are they going to do like Tarkin and digitally replace her? But Lucasfilm finally came out. They put out a statement. It says, in their statement, it says, "We don't normally respond to fan or press speculation, but there is a rumor circulating that we would like to address. We want to assure fans that Lucasfilm has no plans to digitally recreate Carrie Fisher's performance as Princess or General Leia. Carrie Fisher is, was, and always will be part of the Lucasfilm family. She was our princess, our general, and more importantly, our friend. We are still hurting from her loss. We cherish her memory and legacy as Princess Leia, and will always strive to honor everything she gave to Star Wars." So that's actually a really classy press release about yeah. to respond to this surge that's happening on the internet.
And it shows how much Lucas and Disney cares about their fans to actually put this out there and yeah. put minds at rest, mm-hmm. so to speak.
So, but the cool thing, what you got? Oh, yes. I will get to that in a minute. But, cool. Now it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do, because obviously they're going to have to somehow creative writingly write her out of Episode 9, but it's going to be nice to see what type of send-off they give her. Mm-hmm. A la the way they did Leonard Nimoy in the Star Trek films.
Right.
That they gave him, without making it cheesy and overdone, they still gave Spock an A1 send-off in the mm-hmm. in Star Trek Beyond, I thought. Right. I thought that was the perfect way to do it.
Because they had said that for Leia, she was going to have a big part in 9.
Yeah. She may have actually...
And if her role was supposed to be big in 9, they're probably going to have to be rewriting part of 8.
A little bit, yeah. That's where the rewrites and yeah. so that stuff's going to come. So, I'm wondering if the original plan for 9 would have been maybe her learning some more, actually, Force skills. Because everybody knows, she is Force-sensitive, as much as Luke is.
True.
She just never had the training. And in the books, it is, and then you can see from watching Force Awakens and some of the books since then, it came down to not that she couldn't do the Jedi, but she didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
When rebuilding a brand new government and then to get disillusioned and leaving the government and starting right. a new type of rebellion that's not really rebelling against, it's, yeah. She just didn't have time to do it. She's been right. busy for, like,
but her entire life. Quite honestly, though, it's almost kind of nice that she's not going to be in the final movie because there's far too much focus on the older characters.
Yeah. Well,
so you need to just let the new generation of characters have more of the focus.
I'm thinking that this trilogy is going to be a transitional trilogy. Mm-hmm. I think that was their plan to start with. The fact that this was a whole matter of making sure the new cast is ready to go so the old cast could step away.
Right.
And now they're kind of being forced to do that. They've lost Han Solo in Force Awakens. Carrie Fisher is going to be an 8 and not 9. So all you got left of the original three is Mark Hamill.
That and we know of.
Well, what do you mean?
They could kill him off in 8 not tell
they
us.
Could, but that's not going to happen.
Well, I mean,
you have to have someone to train Rey.
Really? Yeah, but she could be Maul trained in 8.
Yeah. Darth Maul. Bring back Darth Maul.
Yeah, Maul needs
a
trainer.
Hey, Ray Parks is still around.
That's true.
Hey, he needs a trainer, and she can do a double lightsaber.
And he is... You guys have to see Rebels, because Darth Maul's character in Rebels is awesome.
No, it's
okay. A crazy old punk is what he's like.
Yeah.
You realize all the stuff we have to watch already? I'm not getting into any more Star Wars.
as soon as they said that, I knew Kylan's eyebrows would go up. Wait a minute, monk? Crazy old monk?
Monk. Crotchety old, spinster type.
Yeah. But he's like the old master, is what he looks at himself as.
Really?
Yeah. you'd like the new Darth Maul character. And he's going pretty much
Then
crazy.
I wouldn't like the Darth Maul character because I like the old one.
Yeah.
He's like a crazy version of Yoda.
A Sith monk.
Uh-huh. Well, he's not really Sith anymore.
He's not monk. He's just
See, that's what makes him horrible, because he's not Sith anymore.
Well, no, he's still a dark side, but he's not Sith. There's plenty of light side and dark side users out there that are not Jedi and Sith.
True. That's true. Right.
So he's become something else.
What?
So, but that's... And actually, there was another piece of somewhat Star Wars news. Lucas has finally found a location for his museum.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
the museum that was supposed to happen in Chicago, that a small... very vocal group of people decided to save a parking lot outside Soldier's Field so they couldn't put up a museum.
Right.
What was it, five people? Well, was in this group?
Yeah. Well, the two major front runners for a while have been L.A. and San Francisco. San Francisco, they were going to put it on an island out in the bay and actually have ferries going out to the island and stuff like that. It could have worked, but I think it would have been a logistics nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, finally, it's come down to Lucas has announced that L.A. is getting the Lucas Museum of Narrative Arts. It's going to be, you put down $1 billion. It's a $1 billion museum.
Yeah.
So he's putting $1 billion into building this museum. Mm-hmm. And anybody who knows George Lucas outside of Star Wars, he has one of the largest private collection of film memorabilia in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has, and it's not just Star Wars and science fiction. He has stuff from all the way back to the beginning of film through now. This is going to be a phenomenal museum, I think, once they build it.
Technically speaking, Los Angeles is a better fit for a film museum.
Well, the pros for San Francisco was that's where Lucas has always worked out of. That's where the Presidio and all of Lucasfilm and all the people who made a lot of his stuff would be there, and it would be basically at home. That's where the home of Star Wars Lucasfilm has always been. But L.A. would be the perfect place for basically, this is a museum on the history of film overall.
Well, I just mean, L.A. in terms of California in general. Like, Chicago never made sense to put such a big film museum there.
He lived in Chicago.
Yeah, that's what it was there.
But I mean, it's just kind of...
off and on in Chicago.
There's not much connection to film in Chicago.
But L.A. is
basically... Actually, there is.
Yeah, there is, but it's not as much as L.A. The point you made with L.A. L.A. is Hollywood. Hollywood is where you should have the premiere... movie.
Well, that's
museum.
Where they do the red carpets and stuff and the awards, but there's not as much filming anymore.
It doesn't have to have actual filming, but Hollywood
of film
is known
there.
As.
Yeah, that's Movieland USA. Because
I know that they're going to work on saving some of the old films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to, obviously that'll be part of, because look what he did, no matter pros or cons to the special editions of Star Wars, looking at the quality of what they did when they remastered those and actually brought it and basically just cleaned them up to make new prints for the re-releases.
Right.
Imagine him doing that to even older films that are slowly but surely dying.
Right.
Because they're rotting in the tin.
I'm just waiting to hear for the big anniversary when they're going to be releasing the original Star Wars again. Since obviously No, but they've remastered all those scenes.
Yeah.
Why would they not have remastered all the movies and just re-release A New Hope?
Well,
theaters for the big anniversary.
Which anniversary is coming up? The 50th is coming. So
exactly.
I don't think they'll release the original theatrical. You know, on DVD you can get the.
Yeah, but DVD doesn't count. I'm talking in theaters.
No. I know you can get if you bought. I think it was the last DVD version of the original trilogy. they had the Laserdisc versions of the original trilogy as bonus features.
Right.
So you had the pre-special edition versions, but anybody who knows the history of Star Wars, every time he released it, even back on VHS, he tweaked something.
Yeah, that was the problem. That's why releasing the original, if they have remastered some scenes from it, there's no reason why they couldn't remaster the whole movie.
Well, the problem with that is even in theaters, depending on where you went, and what cut of the movie, there's different cuts in different theaters.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just take the basic one you have that you've been working on.
Because it depended on 70mm, 35mm, and all these other ones.
That's one of the best things that happened with Disney buying Lucas stuff, was that Lucas couldn't touch the damn stuff anymore. God, he kept wrecking it every time.
So, see, I don't mind the changes, but that's just me.
No one needed to see Jabba the Hutt shuffling across the desert. Okay? No one needed that.
That ruined
his appearance in the rest of it.
Well, the thing is, that was a shot that was filmed for the original one. He just was never happy with the way they had Jabba.
Okay, there's a reason.
So when they did Return of the Jedi, he finally had what he wanted.
Uh-huh.
And then he had to figure out how to put that back in. I like that scene, if it wasn't for the actual Jabba itself.
Right.
Although, they could always go back and re-digitally do Jabba so he actually looks more like what he's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be that difficult.
To leave it alone. Take it out.
No.
Take it out.
it's sort of like when they added Jabba in, was it A New Hope?
We just talked about that.
Well, no, but see, even still, like, I don't know, I kind of like the mystery of, especially like when the characters for Empire came out, and all of a sudden there was these characters that we knew nothing about, and I'm like, okay, so what is their story, what's going on, and they're all of a sudden just talk about Jabba being after Han, you know, because he dumped the spice or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked the liberty of filling that in, which, I mean, I know we're not going to really, we got that story more or less. But there's something to be said for that world, the world being as vast as it is, and being able to still kind of play in it. And it seemed like every time, and not understand that it was his vision, his story, he could do with it what he wanted. But I kind of lost something when, like, especially when the re-releases came out. But I heard a rumor about the new release was that it was going to be a 4K version of the original.
That would be the next step.
We'll see.
It would be interesting. I'm thinking about the longer this. If we left that, because it'd be a lot easier to do this than it is to digitally try to make Jabba look right. Leave the original actor in there and adjust the dialogue in there, because digitally you can adjust dialogue easily now.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, to make it so that's not Jabba the Hutt, that's one of his chief lieutenants talking to Han there. And then, because that scene itself is a good scene.
Right.
Yeah.
The Jabba is what takes away from it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that way, you still never see Jabba until Return of the Jedi. Well, unless you've seen the prequels, because you see Jabba there. The prequels Jabba works.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not moving much. You see him slide up to the balcony, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, if you left the original actor in there, which he was an imposing figure anyway, he was a big guy, all in furs and stuff.
Right.
And you left almost the entire dialogue in there like normal, and just changed where he's talking about Jabba to change it to another name.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or even instead of changing names, say, listen Jabba, or tell Jabba is all you gotta change.
Right.
Tell Jabba, blah, blah, blah. So, that was the Lucasfilm. You want to go to what something you guys have now?
Well, I had I got two, and they're both kind of tied to Shane Black. Well, okay, so...
Yes, because actually that leads into another one I have.
Well, Shane Black is working on the Doc Savage story, as you know. And so, you know, so right now, and I guess they're looking at a release for 2017 for that.
That's going to be so cool.
Yeah, so, and so he's, so the only thing is right now, like the only thing they know for sure, we said this before, was Dwayne Johnson is in the lead, but I think they're hoping that if this does well enough, to see a franchise come out of it, which, I mean, there was an attempt at this back in the 70s. I'm not even going to talk about that.
They attempted everything in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing was, like, now, I wasn't even into Doc Savage at that point, and I managed to see part of the movie. And let's just say that the soundtrack was done by John Philip Sousa, and that was... That was the selling point.
Was it all marching band music?
Whoa.
Yes. Yes. And that was the selling point. John Philip Sousa did the soundtrack. Yeah. It was hard.
76 trombones playing Doc Savage into the room.
It was, yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Now, and the thing is weird because that could have just completely ruined Doc Savage for me, but luckily I managed to kind of get enough separation from that, and I know enough not to ever watch that movie again, you know, but I'm excited.
So is that like watching Doctor Strange from the 70s just to say that you've seen it and then never go back?
Yeah.
Or like the Captain America.
That's,
like the Captain those. America
the one. Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
The TV series?
The Corman Fantastic Four.
Oh.
Really is kind of awesome.
The thing with Corman is you can watch it as much as you want because you're watching it because it's so bad. Corman.
Yeah, it's.
Or that failed pilot of Aquaman.
Oh my god, yeah.
What, from the 70s?
That's fantastic!
Mid-90s.
No, late 90s. I think that the one with Luz Gossett Jr.? Because that was actually a spinoff for Smallville.
It was 80s or 70s.
It was like 80s.
That one can't be as bad as the Justice League pilot from the late 90s. Have you guys
seen
that?
They're equally bad.
They're equally bad.
Because the Justice League pilot, they had the characters in name only.
Yeah, I know.
Guy Gardner, I found out later that it works. Guy Gardner was a school teacher in this who acted like a school teacher. It was like they took the original Guy Gardner character from the late 60s, which he was a school teacher in that.
Right.
But not the Guy Gardner character that he had become.
Right.
Because originally he wasn't a jerk.
But it was the one that had the Martian Manhunter that was the dude from MASH. The overweight dude from MASH. That was Martian Manhunter.
David Augustine.
No, the Aquaman one was the one where his best friend was the starfish, and then he would occasionally use him as a shuriken. You don't throw your best friend at people!
That sounds like the 60s Aquaman. Because if I remember, in Aquaman in the 60s, he had a best friend who was a starfish.
But it was only the pilot episode.
I'm just saying, they went to the 60s, got the idea.
He threw him
to use it.
At people.
Yes, he threw him at people. It was
That's
bad.
That's the one problem I had.
So you're saying Starro was his best friend?
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
So. All right, and here's something near and dear to my heart, and I'm hoping that they don't mess this up. They're doing an Uncharted movie.
Which we already knew.
Which you guys already know. And so, now, according to this...
They have officially finished the script.
So, yeah, the script is officially finished. Now, the film producer is Abby Arad of Marvel fame, so I kind of feel good about that.
Now, how does he have time... Isn't he still in charge of Marvel Cinema, or Marvel Studios? No, Feige is now. Abby Arad was the original... basically creative head of Marvel Studios, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. So, almost...
Oh, no, he had the TV side, wasn't
the
he?
The TV side of it, yeah. Like, all the animated stuff was him for the longest time. Naughty Dog. Nervous Dog.
Nervous. I thought you were trying to say Nerf. It's like, Nerf is doing this?
Naughty Dog, which is the company that is behind the series...
Yeah.
...is heavily involved in this, and so... There's been some talk of Nathan Fillion playing Nathan Drake.
There was talk of that for years because of how much he looks like the character.
Right.
Just generally
speaking. I've never played the games, but looking at the size, I'm talking body style, size, it doesn't look about right.
Well,
Fillion almost is too thin
The thing is, Nathan Fillion is getting a little old for the role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because isn't the character supposed to be like 30s or something? And he's already past 40.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing would be if they take a little bit different twist on it and make this after the games. So that he is a little bit older.
Depends.
They could actually do that, make it a little bit older where he's coming back to what he was doing in the games.
Well, this one right here, apparently this is based off of the first game, Drake's Fortune.
Okay.
So, whereas now at this point, the series is officially ended, at least... Nathan's part of this series has ended. There's a new release that's coming out featuring other characters from the series, but Nathan's story has ended.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have an official release date, but, you know,
they don't even have casting yet.
No, they don't have casting.
They only just finished
the script. And the thing was, according to this story, it says... Film is slated for a June 30, 2017 release. I'm like,
no.
There's no way.
They only just finished the script and it's going to be released in June? No, that's not happening.
No, so...
We know that one.
So we're, you know, my fingers are crossed because I really enjoyed the series.
This could make... They could be going for like another Tomb Raider, where they do a series of movies loosely based on the games, and it's an adventure one like Tomb Raider was.
And Tomb Raider, actually, if you played the games, the movies aren't that far from the way they were not based on the, or they were based on the games, but the story in Tomb Raider, obviously the movies had separate stories than what the games did, but they were they felt like they were a Tomb Raider game, just live action on the screen.
Yeah,
because everything was exactly what you would see in the Tomb Raider game, just about.
And I mean, the Uncharted stuff, from what I've seen you play of them, it's a lot like an Indiana Jones kind of thing anyway.
Yeah. It's basically it's the male version of Tomb Raider, from what I've said.
Yeah. Well, it's a mix of Indiana Jones, and actually the funny thing is there's like people draw correlations with Doc Savage as well. And it's funny because, like the article said, we're talking about a movie that's based on a video game that was inspired by a movie. So, you know. So
you could end up with Uncharted and Doc Savage coming out at the same time.
Oh,
that would be, you have Marvel and DC facing off against each other. You got these guys facing off against each other.
I would be so. I'm so.
That would be Kylan time.
That would be Kylan time. So yeah. So I'm. No, I'm keeping my eyes out for any new news. So now that we got a script done, hopefully it means that, you know, I'll keep it.
It's got to move somewhere once they've got the script done.
We're going to be keeping an eye on casting and you'll see where it goes from there. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, staying in the same place, you're talking about Shane Black.
Yeah.
He's got another movie coming out that has The Rock in it, but this actually is not about that. The Rock actually, everybody heard back in August of 2014. That The Rock has been cast to play, or he was given the option of either Black Adam or Shazam in the Shazam movie that's going to be coming sometime in the future.
Right.
Well, he chose Black Adam.
Right.
Which is interesting because this is one of the very few times you'll ever see The Rock play an actual villain. Because he's always played a hero. But I was reading, Collider put up this story talking about The Rock. But the first line of this is going to get Kylan all over the place. I try not to read directly off of these when I get the story. But it says, back in August 2014, when Dwayne Johnson was in peak, quote, franchise Viagra from having just revitalized both G.I. Joe Retaliation and Fast and the Furious 6.
I like G.I. Joe Retaliation. No,
but I don't know about it revitalizing.
Got killed.
Yeah,
I don't know about revitalizing the franchise because obviously nothing has happened since then.
That one movie, he revitalized.
They were supposedly they were talking about picking up right after Retaliation for the next G.I. Joe movie because
if it ever gets made.
That's nothing. I
don't know. Not with the direction they're wanting to go with it now with Hasbro, what they want to do. And actually, I'm kind of liking the idea of what they may try to do if they do it right. Doing what they're doing in the comic books with IDW. Is it IDW?
Yes.
Yeah. Putting these franchises together.
There was talks of them bringing in Matt Patrick?
Wait a minute. No.
Matt.
I don't see him acting.
Matt Tracker.
You've been listening to the girls' radio stations, haven't you?
Where is he now?
Matt Patrick?
Yeah.
Isn't he still on KDD?
No, he's retired.
He's on a different one.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Yeah.
There's only one DJ that
one of the most annoying DJs ever, Matt Patrick.
Yeah, so...
My sisters would argue.
I apologize for that, but...
Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, so the rumor was while they were working on the script for the new G.I. Joe movie, if and when we ever see it, there was going to be an introduction of a Matt Tracker to the active members of the team.
For those who don't know...
Oh, sorry. Matt Tracker is the leader of the Mobile Armored Strike Command.
With a K.
Mask, which was a... animated series and toy line from the late 80s or early 90s.
Late 80s. It was similar to, as an action cartoon similar to G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Except that G.I. Joe, they had lasers and their weapons were interesting. G.I. Joe's weapons, though, were mostly based on actual military technology.
That's right. Where
Cobra made futuristic crazy stuff. And this, everybody had, it was a kind of a mix. The love child of G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Right, pretty much, yeah.
Because each of the characters had a mask they would wear, would have a special ability, but their cars transformed into attack vehicles.
Right.
You had a Camaro mm-hmm. with gullwing doors.
Right.
That the this was Matt Tracker's vehicle. I forget what it was called.
Thunderhawk.
Thunderhawk. The gullwing doors would flip up. You'd have rockets on the edges of them, and the hatch would lift up just enough that you had a rocket in there, and it'd become a plane.
Right.
Or they had their semi truck. Became their command base, which it would extend out, and it actually became a full command bunker.
Right.
And not surprisingly, it was another Hasbro cartoon that was basically produced just to sell toys.
We've talked about that before. The late 70s, the FCC made some kind of change in the regulations so that you could actually sell toys through TV shows.
Right.
And Hasbro said, you're on. every toy line they ever came up with, they came out with a TV series for. Or, I remember the great thing in the 80s was the Saturday afternoon cartoon movie specials that they would run because they would do a pilot for a show and see if it would actually work and they would make a 2-hour movie and you'd have it on just one of your syndicated TV shows in the afternoon on the syndicated TV after it was awesome. I have somewhere on VHS, I bet you I still have robotics that my dad taped off a TV for me.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, so there the funny thing is that with IDW, when they decided to bring their universes together. So they made this really awesome, cohesive story now of, okay, so you have Miles Mayhem, who is the main bad guy for Mask.
Yeah.
Miles Mayhem was a member of the original G.I. Joe Adventure Team, which was G.I. Joe from the 70s, when it was just like, there was a 4- or 5-man team there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Miles Mayhem was a member of that team. Mm-hmm. He breaks off, the Transformers come, and so he swears up and down that the Transformers are evil.
Mm-hmm.
So he approaches the U.S. government about creating a program where we can have vehicles that appear to be just your average car, truck, whatever, that can transform, that they can use to battle these other vehicles. Now, the thing is, he's actually dirty, so then he strikes off and...
Why don't you just go take a bath?
So basically, when IDW put their universes together, that was their way of bringing it all together now, so that that's the reason why Mask fits with G.I. Joe, which fits with Transformers. I'm like, okay, awesome. So,
well, the cool thing with IDW, what it is, you can see what they're trying to do is for almost 80 years now for DC and Marvel, and that it works and helps them that they have one cohesive universe that everybody works together. Mm-hmm. A lot of these other companies, like, I think Image has done that a long time ago because they have superheroes.
Right.
IDW's never had that chance because that's, 75% of all of their properties are licensed properties from someone else.
Right.
Right.
They're the ones you go for G.I. Joe, for Transformers, for Ghostbusters, for My Little Pony. Mm-hmm.
Tomb Raider one for a little bit, too. Yeah. So.
The problem with that is, those are all separate universes, so you really can't do crossovers and stuff easily.
Exactly. No.
By them combining, now since they basically have Hasbro, that's how they're able to do all that. Mm-hmm. Hasbro owns all these licenses. Mm. By able to do that, they were able to make it one universe, and now they can actually... Because now they've done Revolution, I believe all their... And, like, Mask is just Mask characters, usually. The comic series Mask.
Yeah.
Transformers is still just Transformers characters, but we know these are all in the same universe. You can have characters cross over and single characters here and there. It's not, it doesn't have to be a giant company-wide crossover event.
Right.
So it's like this was one of probably the best ideas they could have come up with for the future of their company.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome that we see that now, especially with independent books. Because I don't know why, for the longest time, it was a special event if they had two of their characters show up in a book together. Whereas for us, it was no big deal to see Nick Fury and Reed Richards and Wolverine playing.
That's just Wednesday.
Yeah, that's Wednesday. Exactly. You know, they're playing, that was their poker night.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's just a matter of a lot of the smaller companies, that's how they get larger and grow a fan base.
Yeah, they have to get their individual books popular first.
Right.
It's not like it's not like everyone already knows who all these Marvel characters are and who all these DC characters are, and throwing them together is not a big deal.
Yeah.
They have to establish, these are companies that have not been around for more than 20 years as it is, you know, so they have to establish years worth of the title before they can mix them together.
Well, back to where we were, Dwayne Johnson was, now we know, he, like we said, back in 2014, he was announced as part of the Shazam movie.
Yeah.
Right.
And nothing's been heard since then.
No.
And nothing's ever changed. He's still under contract to do this movie. But we found out this week he actually did finally go and sit down with, and the interesting thing is who he's, he said he sat down with the heads of DC about the future of their movie universe, which is interesting because he didn't say he sat down with Warner Brothers.
No.
That's true.
So, that's the big thing here. And, actually he put up a post on Facebook, and the way he said it here was, had a very cool and strategic meeting with the heads of DC Comics about their entire universe. As a hardcore DC fan, which I didn't notice, no, but that makes sense. A lot of wrestlers are comic book fans.
Right.
But as a hardcore DC fan, to get a real sense of the tonal shifts and developments coming in the future of these future movies has me fired up. Something we as DC fans have been waiting for. Hope, optimism, and fun in capital letters. I'm excited about our future together, and you should be too. Even when talking about the most ruthless villain slash anti-hero of all time finally coming to life, prepare yourselves, DC Universe. The really cool quote out of here is that whole hope, optimism, and fun. Because arguably the thing that's been missing out of the, two, three movies we got, well, Suicide Squad added some of it back in, but the two major movies with in the new DC Universe with Man of Steel and Batman v Superman was they were not fun.
Right.
No.
That's what they're missing. There wasn't a whole lot of hope and optimism either.
True.
No. Well, according to this, that's what DC wants to put into their movies
and,
in the future going forward.
And it makes sense that Johnson was meeting with DC because, I mean, those are the ones who are doing the writing and creating the properties. Meeting with Warner Brothers doesn't do anything because that's DC's concern of making the movie is meeting with Warner Brothers. But him meeting with DC is the more important.
I think you could actually make that interchangeable. He says, sit down with the heads of DC... remove that out and put in Jeff Johns.
Right.
Yeah.
He sat down with Jeff Johns and said, they said, this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And he seems like he's extremely excited about what's going on. It looks like we've said before, that with Jeff Johns and John Berg in charge here, we may actually be moving in the right direction finally.
Yeah.
So, I know that you had mentioned Shane Black, and the other thing with this was The Rock has a pretty full... They were speculating on when can we actually get this movie made. But The Rock has a pretty full schedule.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got... They recently wrapped on Jumanji 2, which actually looked up the... And the synopsis for Jumanji 2 is a totally different animal than where we were originally.
Okay.
It's still about a board game. Mm-hmm. But in this one, instead of the board game coming out into the real world, these four teenagers sit down to play this board game, and they get sucked into the game. Mm-hmm. And then when they get sucked into the game, they become the characters in the game. One of them, The Rock, plays this kid. Yep. It's kind of like the idea of... Vicky brought this up and was just right. It's the idea of the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Yes.
Where they got sucked into the game.
Right.
Except for instead of looking like themselves in the outside world, they look like whatever the character was.
Yeah.
Right.
So The Rock is this explorer. Karen Gillian is one of the characters
Completely
there.
Completely inappropriately dressed Karen Gillian.
Well...
Just point that out.
What?
She's in shorts and a tank top when the guys have like full pants and everything.
She's like wearing kids' clothes.
Yeah, she's in a jungle with shorts.
Kids' clothes.
Can we have a minute? I'll bring up the things. But Kevin Hart is one of the four, yeah. And Jack Black.
Which means it's going to be an annoying movie if Jack Black's
in it. I don't know.
I can't stand Jack Black. it was good until they had mentioned Jack Black.
I gotta bring it up here on IMDb real quick, but there's like 9 pictures and that's it. They've not put out much promotional stuff for this yet. But
well, no, because it's not coming out yet.
That's right. I think they're gonna have a lot of special edition or special effects and stuff they're gonna do
on this one.
But this, like I said, this is unlike I was telling Vicky yesterday, unlike a lot of the remakes you see, the thing with this is it's not taking an old movie and making an exact copy of it, or trying to make as close to an exact copy as you can with new people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new idea based on the concept originally.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it'll be fun.
He might be filming 2 movies at the same location, because I swear that looks like where Doc Savage could be.
Well, they said this was filmed in Atlanta and Honolulu.
Yeah.
So all the jungle scenes. Well, and that's it's becoming Honolulu is becoming the place to film
for jungle,
jungle
yeah.
stuff in America. Because really, that's the only jungle we have.
I mean, you have your jungle, and you don't have all the passport issues.
Right.
As going to somewhere else.
Well, The Rock being the go-to guy, the next thing he has on his docket after Jumanji, he's shooting Rampage. Now, do you guys remember Rampage, the arcade game?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
And they're actually, instead, they're doing, well, they're doing more of a horror element with the because the monsters are actually attacking.
Right.
So, I mean, it's obviously not going to be a horror movie. Mm-hmm. But it's going to have the, they're going to try to add some scarier aspects into it to make an actual live-action Rampage film.
Right.
I think they should just make it, not silly, but more of a kaiju thing where these three animal or creatures are attacking the city.
Right, yeah.
The problem with it, though, is you're going to end up with problems with people watching real close because King Kong and Godzilla were in those in that game without calling them King Kong and Godzilla.
Look, it's a giant lizard. Look, it's a giant ape.
Uh-huh. Smashing buildings. Wait a minute. But then right after that, he's supposed to be doing a San Andreas 2. I didn't know San Andreas did that well.
I don't think it did. It doesn't mean there won't be a sequel.
Well, and then
it's
after,
The Rock, so.
As long as they make their money back, yeah, we'll have a sequel.
Well, then after that, he's still on for Doc Savage's after those three.
Yeah.
See.
This man, I don't know when he sleeps.
And that doesn't take into account the fact that he might be doing a Baywatch sequel once that movie comes out.
Yeah, that comes out this
and
summer.
Another Fast and Furious.
I don't know. Fast 8 is the one that's coming out this summer, right?
Right.
Do they have a 9? Vicky's watched that more.
I
think 8 may be the last one, finally.
Yay!
I haven't heard anything about it.
Those have actually gotten better over time.
See,
each ones they make, because they're
like
actually
the
changing.
Well, if you start at a zero, getting better over time is bringing what to an eight with the eighth movie.
See, I like the movies.
Yeah, so do I.
I thought they were good.
I thought they were. 3 and 4 were a little hard, but after 4, it looked like they got an actual direction.
Right.
And they started moving in a decent direction.
Right. I was like, well,
4 was trying to figure out what it was.
You can only street race for so long.
Yeah.
Like okay.
And now, if you watch, the funny thing is, if you watch the original Fast and Furious and watch Fast and Furious 7, they don't look anything alike.
No, they don't. It's completely different.
But like I said, that's where in 4, they actually chose a new direction, and it's working.
Right.
It's almost like a heist gang type movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's because, like, 15 years difference does make a big difference on the way people look.
So, that's what I had on The Rock, and you were talking about Shane Black, but what else do you have there?
I have a Deadpool download.
I heard there's a couple of Deadpool stories.
There's a lot of Deadpool stuff this week, actually.
I think what it is they may have finally finished the script for Deadpool 2.
No, they haven't, actually. They're still in it, but the reason there was so much news is because there was an interview that the screenwriters did with Collider. So, a lot came out of that. One of the things that came out is the returning characters. We will once again be seeing Colossus, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, and Dopinder, the taxi driver.
Oh. Okay.
He's a very important character in the movie, okay?
I
didn't remember his name.
I was looking for Dopinder because he had no good cousin.
His no good cousin that was in the trunk.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to him, ultimately, once they were in that accident. But they did want to specify to people that it's still a solo movie. It's still Deadpool. They're not saying to what extent the two X-Men will be in it. They also have not said if there will be any more X-Men in it. Mm-hmm. They said there will be a lot of characters in it. And the other thing is, you know, Cable's going to be in it. And they've said, basically, Cable has a very convoluted past. Like, seriously, look him up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how long the entry for Cable's history is.
And if they want to do an actual origin type thing for Cable, it's hard to do unless you bring in, like, Scott Summers
and
some of those other ones.
Well, the thing is, Cable needs his own movie if they're going to do an origin. So,
and that would be a lot of characters there.
You need basically all the X-Men if you're going to do a Cable movie.
Right.
But essentially, they're going to bring Cable in, but leave the background mysterious. They're going to mention just as much as they need to make sense for why he's there and for the story and why. Like, I don't know what plot they're going with, but if you know anything about the Deadpool-Cable relationship, it's a love-hate thing, as it is with Deadpool and anybody. Deadpool loves them and they hate him. It's just the way it works. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens, with that whole backstory, but they talked about how, you know, you don't want to have to include all the 18,000 details about Cable's background to bring him into the movie. They did not confirm, but there's still the high likelihood that Domino is going to be in the movie. And they're using this, the Deadpool 2 as, an opening for X-Force.
Okay.
They are using it to bring in elements of X-Force. I mean, with Cable being in there and Domino, that opens it up anyway. But they are going to use it as kind of a segue into possibly doing an X-Force movie.
As the way Deadpool was done, I was thinking while you're talking about this, you know what? Adding in Cable, some of these other ones, this would be, because they've been talking about, oh, we're going to reboot X-Men. This would be a perfect way to slowly do a soft reboot of X-Men and base it off of where Deadpool's at now. Possibly. Slowly, I mean, I'm not talking big, but I'm saying build these characters off of where we're at now, and then once you do bring in, like, if you bring in X-Force, it's based on the characters that are in Deadpool, and then you finally get back to, you do an X-Men movie, but you do it with, and you could even use the actors that are in X-Men now, mm-hmm. but you do use Deadpool's franchise now, and X-Force, some of these other ones, to change their characters to where you want them to be,
right,
and continue there.
That's true. You could, that could work.
If you tweak it correctly, you could pull off something really well.
X-Force is basically tied to X-Men. So if you're going to end up
anything that has X in the title has it's
right,
X-Men.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another little bit of Deadpool news that was really funny. Deadpool has launched an Oscar campaign with a 4-year consideration ad. As we all know, the Oscar nominations come out in a couple weeks. I think it's the.
See, I always thought they came out like December.
No, it's always January.
Okay.
Because all the movies that are possible for nomination have to be done by December 31st.
But it is the Globes that come out in December.
Yeah, they already had the Golden Globe Award show. But yeah, so I think it's the 24th, but they launched a video, which you can see on YouTube, and it is a flat-out for-your consideration ad. If you don't know, a lot of movies put these ads out for those who do the voting with the Academy, to give them reasons to vote for their movie or reasons to nominate their movie. So it features Ryan Reynolds narrating and listing off some of the film's highlights, such as 4 pairs of assless chaps, 12 humiliating minutes on a casting couch, 7 magical unicorns, 3 good walls, and a 4th that's broken. And it shows scenes from the movie and that kind of... It's very cute. It's only like a minute and a half long or something, but
okay.
I just thought it was funny they actually did launch a campaign for your consideration so we can get it into more of the possible Oscar nominations.
I got another one that from DC, really, because this actually spins off of that, in a weird tangent, was DC and Warner Bros. Had finally announced, everybody knew the Green Lantern Corps movie was coming at some point. Well, they finally announced the writing team, which is really no big surprise, and the general synopsis of what this movie's going to be. And the writing team, like I said, to no surprise, is David Goyer writing the script with Justin Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says Goyer's production company, Phantom 4, is going to be producing. And DC's heads, Jeff Johns and John Berg, are going to do executive producing, which none of this is surprises because David Goyer has written... If you go back and look at his IMDb, if it's comic book, he's written it. He he wrote all 3 Blade movies. He did the Blade TV series. He's done I think he co-wrote the Dark Knight trilogy. He did Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. He's basically wrote comics for his whole thing. The first comic book movie he did, I looked it up the other day, was actually The Crow City of Salvation, whatever that was, the third Crow movie.
What was the third Crow movie?
The third Crow movie.
Something
was...
Salvation. Or no, Crow Salvation is just what it was called.
It was
called.
Just Salvation.
Salvation.
Yeah, that was the third one, wasn't it? Yeah, City of Angels was the second one.
City of Angels, Salvation.
Okay.
And then it got weird.
The fourth one then, the fourth one never got made, I think.
No.
That was the one I think that was supposed to have David Boreanaz in it and someone else.
Yeah, and then
and
it
they've
got
still
dropped.
Been talking reboot and everything.
Yeah, they were talking about a reboot for it, but that's the production team. And the interesting thing is the... It's been described as a lethal weapon in space, where it's going to be Hal Jordan as a veteran Green Lantern, and John Stewart coming in as the new hothead, and it is John Stewart as the African American Marine sniper who's being brought in. So it is the Hal Jordan we know, and there's going to have a John Stewart origin of sorts. But it's not going to be focusing on that.
Well, interestingly, when that news broke, the one who just got cast in Black Panther, Sterling K. Brown, he expressed interest in being Jon Stewart.
That's another one of those characters in comics that everybody, if you're a black man in Hollywood, you want to be Jon Stewart.
Yes.
But
I was thinking when Sterling said that, I was like, dude, you only just got into a Marvel movie. Calm the hell down.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, it says here that no one said one way or the other. It says it's unclear whether or not Ryan Reynolds may be coming back as Hal Jordan.
Yeah, they did question whether he'd make an appearance.
If they write the script correctly, I think he'd be open for it.
He probably
if they
would.
Did it right. Because he wanted to do Green Lantern. His fault.
As long as he's not in an animated super suit. We know he can pull off the skin tight for real suit.
Yeah. So this is, it could, but like I said, with Jeff, now, anybody who knows
he
Jeff Johns.
Get a wife out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did get a wife out of it.
But anybody who knows Jeff Johns, who's executive producing this, and you know he's going to have some say in the story and stuff, this man loves Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one who brought Hal Jordan back, well, not from the dead, but back to the ring.
Right.
Because Hal Jordan never actually died. He had become a villain, all these other things back in the 90s and through early 2000s. Well, he brought him back and put a ring back on his finger and made him the Hal Jordan that everybody remembered.
True.
Mm. That was all Jeff Johns. So it's like, when Jeff Johns doing this, you know you're going to get something that feels like Green Lantern.
Right.
So that's what I had. It's just cool that they finally actually announced this. And like I said, David Goyer is something you kind of almost expected from this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do want to talk, actually, what else do you have on your list before we get into
I have one really short thing that I thought was kind of cool.
You know what? Before we get into that, because that's it. No. We're getting close to time. Why don't we, next week, we're going to, because you'll give you guys time to catch up the rest of the way. Next, we said we'd do Vikings at the end of the show, but why don't we, because we've never actually done a show, and that show's been around long enough. Yeah. I think we can do a good Vikings show.
Okay.
So next week we'll talk Vikings. That's all things Vikings.
Because their season finale is coming up.
Is it?
I think it
well,
is.
We only have two episodes left to catch up on, plus there'd be this week.
Give me half a second, I'll tell you.
Because six starts this week.
It should go to, 23 episodes altogether?
Give me half a second, I'll let you know. But
SEAL Team 6.
Oh, the SEAL Team 6 show starts this week.
And
yeah.
That's on Wednesday.
Yeah, but is it at 9 or 10?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, the Vikings, where they're at right now, they need a little bit before they can finish this off.
They're filming another season.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, this show, but in terms of this season.
Yeah.
This show, I think, is printing money for
It's the unexpected success for the History Channel.
Yeah,
right.
Mixing the history and the fiction, and they didn't expect it to go.
I didn't know when Don expressed interest in watching the series. I was like, okay, because I figured it would just be a straight historical.
Right.
According to IMDb, episode 20, which is the end of this season, is February 2nd. So
that's
we can do
not
a
that
catch
far
up.
Off.
Well, then maybe we'll bump it to because let me look at the schedule here.
No, we don't want to do it.
Yeah, we don't want to wait that far because
we can still do it next week.
We'll do that next week
and see where we think it's going.
Exactly. Speculation on what they're going to do is awesome. Yeah, season 5 is listed as 2017, but that'll probably be that'll be the summer part because they like splitting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll probably do June or July. Do your first 10, and then come like they did this time, and come on the backside.
Yeah.
But go ahead with where you're at.
The only other little piece of news I had, except for one other thing that I know Kylan wants to talk about, is I thought this was cool. Netflix came out with a free video game. I don't know if you heard about
this. Okay.
It's a side-scroller 8-bit game. If you look it up, it's called... Now, of course, I don't have what it's called here. Oh, it's called Netflix Infinite Runner.
Okay.
It's the retro endless running game featuring characters from their original shows. So you can pick one of four characters. You get Pablo Escobar from their show Narcos, Marco Polo from Marco Polo, Piper Chapman from Orange is the New Black, or Mike Wheeler from Stranger Things. And it's just a flat-out runner, and you press the space bar to jump. It's
so
a
it's
stupid
what,
little
Maze
thing.
Runner, I think? Or was that the name of the game that it was like that? The mobile game that it was like Maze Runner. No, it was what's one I'm
most
of?
Games in the 80s had the screenshot of the games where you just ran and jumped.
Yeah.
That's basically all it is. So I just wanted to mention that because I thought that was a cool little, like, almost unnecessary thing, but Netflix did it anyway. So
Actually I got a couple little snippets as we're wrapping this up that Wentworth Miller was at the Television Critics Association press tour for Prison Break. But he was talking Captain Cold.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that we are getting Captain Cold back, which we knew was coming, but he said he answered the questions that this is not going to be the Captain Cold we know. He is actually going to be more the original Captain Cold from the beginning of Flash.
Right.
Because of where they're pulling him out, which is an interesting thing, because he's excited because it gives him a chance to do a different arc on the character.
Mm-hmm.
Which we know Berlanti and them can write really well if we look at Tom Cavanaugh's characters with Wells. He's done at least three full arcs, plus a couple of other just little characters.
Well, I mean, if they're pulling him from his earlier life, he's not the mellowed out guy that's willing to get along with people that died on Legends.
Right.
So
you're also going to get some interesting things with maybe his reaction with Mick. With Mick.
Uh-huh.
Because Mick has softened
Mick
a lot.
Mick has changed a lot.
And he's going to expect to see Mick from when he was working with him.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you get things like, remember, he and Sarah Lance shared a kiss right before he died. And he's not going to remember any of this.
No.
It's going to be interesting
to
see where he goes.
He's going to hate everybody. He's just like, there's no way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. The other one is, it's been confirmed, Robbie Amell is coming back to the show again.
Yeah.
Probably as a one-shot, but, and it's going to be interesting to see where they do with this. Is he going to be, well, it is going to be Ronnie Raymond.
Yeah.
But is he going to be half of Firestorm somehow, or it's going to be also interesting to see, because the other half of Firestorm is busy.
Yeah.
So it'd be him by himself. How's he going to do the, if, are they going to use Firestorm with him, or is he just coming back as Ronnie? Is it from another world? Is it?
Yeah.
There's a, the way this works with the multiverse and stuff, there's a lot of options for this for him
just
to be able to use this.
Right.
So, that actually ends at the bottom of my list. How about you?
I have news on the Defenders.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even go anywhere near that.
No, we did not.
It was a big one this week because, it's the cover story for Entertainment Weekly.
Wow.
For the past week. It's got images from the show. The cover of Entertainment Weekly has all four of the Defenders on it together.
Have they started filming it yet?
They're filming it now.
They've already been filming it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Iron Fist is coming out in barely a couple weeks, and then Defenders is following right after that. Right. So,
yeah, I have a quote. This is a quote from the Entertainment Weekly article. First of all, let's talk about the team itself. EW got to make a set visit where they watched each of the four Defenders arrive separately at Midland Circle, which is where Daredevil and Elektra found the bottomless pit. None of the Defenders were expecting to see the others there, with each of them having gotten there by following clues of their own. And then, according to the site, they are trapped in a corridor and have to fight their way out. That's right, a four-way Defender hallway fight scene.
Oh, we're getting a four-way with the Defenders.
Four-way.
But come on, all we've had so far is single character hallway or stairwell fight scenes. This is four of them. It's going to be massive.
And I'm like,
well, it better be. This is a team-up show. They have to do
great. Well, yeah, but I mean, like, how much further can you go? Like, we've seen every single time we see one of these hallway or stairwell fight scenes, it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And this is like, heads are going to explode.
I mean, even...
Especially when Luke Cage hits them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even in season two of Daredevil, you had a hallway fight scene with Daredevil, and then you had a hallway fight scene with Punisher. Not the two together.
Yeah.
Not the two together. So we're getting a four-way fight scene out of this. Now, I mean, and they even said here that the Defenders didn't have a D on their belt buckles and a Defenders Tower. We agreed from the very beginning that these folks could, at the very end, go, I never want to see your face again. The truth is, even in the comics, the Defenders are treated as a loose association. They're not a set team like the Avengers or the Fantastic Four or the X-Men even. This is a group.
They're not even as tight as Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends?
No, not even.
They work together because they're forced to work together.
Yeah.
Based on where things are happening and what's happening. And they can come and go.
You actually get to see Danny's tattoo.
Yeah, in the pictures in Entertainment Weekly,
cool.
you can actually see the because it's a bit, you know, it's the big dragon on his chest.
Okay.
You see Luke Cage in the yellow shirt and black jeans.
He's got a yellow shirt.
So
he went to North Carolina or South Carolina, wherever it was, and got it back?
No, it's just a t-shirt.
And actually, the funny thing is that now Marvel has decided to reboot the Defender series, mirroring this team.
Well, they've been doing that for a while. As stuff becomes popular on either their television shows or movies, they'll make changes in their comic line.
Interestingly, it's an all-new Defenders book, and they announced it before the news of the Entertainment Weekly stuff came out.
Yeah,
right.
And the cover that they released, it's being written by Brian Michael Bendis, and the cover that they released is almost an exact shot that Entertainment Weekly used on their cover.
Nice.
Like the way that the people are positioned and everything.
Almost like Entertainment Weekly knew this was going
to
happen.
Yes, it's amazing.
I know. Imagine
like they
that.
Talk to each other or something.
I know.
They also talked about the main villain who's being played by Sigourney Weaver.
Right, and there's no confirmation.
Now, they gave her the name Alexandra, which everyone's wondering if that's a front for someone else. Because she's either going to be someone you know or an amalgam of these other big villains.
Yeah.
And there's a possibility that she may lead the Hand. which is the big one that came up.
So that made her the Elektra. Finger leading the hand?
No, no. We don't appreciate stupid jokes when it comes to our serious Marvel stuff.
So the thing is, I mean, and now there you still have Colleen Wing and Misty Knight, both are going to feature heavily. And I don't know if this means at the end of this if I may be looking at a possible Heroes for Hire series.
Well, at least with the two of them in this, you're looking at Daughters of the Dragon.
That's true.
Something coming out because they have a team up called Daughters of the Dragon.
Okay. Well, we know their phase two or whatever they're going to call it in Netflix is going to have new characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, because we're getting a Punisher series.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the only one they've announced other than what we already knew was coming.
Exactly. Right.
So it's like, now what else is going to spin out of this? Are they going to have new stuff that no one's ever heard of or that we've not seen in these series as yet? Or is it maybe a side character that...
Well, you know, I may as well throw it out there now, even though he says that he doesn't see it happening. But on the set of, they were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, can you think of his name?
James Gunn.
James Gunn said that he doesn't have the time to do it, but he would love to see a Moon Knight something.
Yeah.
Now,
well, no, not just that. He has talked with Marvel about his treatment of Moon Knight and what he would do.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, Moon Knight, in my opinion, has to be handled as a series. There's too much that goes on with that character for it to be done as a movie because, I mean, just a lot of people just write him off as a Batman knockoff. The thing is, he's not. He has four separate personalities that he becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings on a lot of other issues.
See,
too.
For me, I've never read Moon Knight, but we've talked about it plenty on here.
Yeah.
That it seems like it started, the genesis of the idea was he's Batman with a twist. But then they've actually let it grow from there to become something else.
Well, no, he started off with four separate personalities.
Yeah, but no, that's where your twist is. Like I said, the basis of the character could have been, let's make our version of Batman and twist it so it's not Batman. You know what I mean? As a starting point, and then you allow it to become what it is. They do that all the time. How many characters have we noticed that it's like, wait, that is that.
Right.
This is that.
Right.
And there, I mean...
We said that with the Doctor Strange movie, how similar it is to the relationship between Sinestro and Hal Jordan.
Right.
That it's it looks like, well, hey, I like that idea. Let's use that and see where we go with it on our side.
Exactly. So, yeah, so that's where we're... So, it's...
And interestingly, in the Entertainment Weekly piece, they didn't specify a date of release for Defenders, which is what they've done all along. They wait until after the most recent show is come and gone before they tell you when the next one's coming.
And actually, if they're doing Defenders now, they may do... which one of them actually... What was it? Luke Cage, or no, before Luke Cage, I think it was Jessica Jones, remember, had the, on the tagged to the end of the last episode was the teaser for Luke Cage, and I think that actually announced the Luke Cage
date. So they may do the same thing here.
On the last episode of
Iron Fist,
you get the teaser for Defenders.
Because,
and
I mean, it's pretty much got to happen in the summer, because Punisher's coming this year as well. They've confirmed all three of them for this year.
Right.
So Punisher's got to be fall, which will likely be the October-November date usually give.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking it's got to be between June and August, we're going to get Defenders.
And Defenders is shortened. That's what, eight episodes?
I think it's only eight, yeah.
Perfect size to make it a trade. Oh, wait.
Right. I expect to see something in the summer, because for the longest time it's been fall,
you know,
winter.
What?
Well, I'll say fall,
well,
spring.
Well, I mean, it could fall around Comic-Con.
I'm going to make a prediction here sometime in June, because if they stay on track with where they're at, they're not going to want to put that out same time as Stranger Things.
No.
Which is going to be August. They have not announced it, but that's where Stranger Things dropped this
likely
year.
Yeah.
Right.
The,
so,
last year.
Then again, they might shift Stranger Things because it was so popular.
They
might
get it out for
shift
earlier?
To either earlier or later.
Have they started
production
on it yet?
That's the thing. I haven't heard any production notes.
Yeah, nothing.
They've had readings, because they have scripts and they've had readings, because there have been a couple of pictures of the cast reading.
Okay. Right.
But no actual filming has been released.
Right. Well, the thing with Stranger Things is, since they're using the same cast and actually allowing them to age a year, they've got to... do certain things at certain times because of physically the kids are growing.
Right.
and it's going to depend how much, because if you think about the original, there was a lot of outdoor work.
Right.
So it's going to depend how much outdoor work again there is in terms of the seasons and all the crap that's going on in the weather where they usually film.
That's like, Stranger Things is going to not see the problem, but have to deal with the issues, kind of what they did with Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter, they had no choice but to film those as fast as possible because their kids, who are supposed to be 12, are good. If you don't do it fast, next year when they're supposed to be 13, are going to be 16.
Just looking at
when they're supposed to be 14, they're going to be 18. Just looking
at the Stranger Things kids as they've been appearing on talk shows and awards shows and everything, they already look so much older.
Yes.
Talking Stranger Things for half a second, have you seen any of the list of who's going to be in Comic-Con Cleveland?
No.
The Wizard World Cleveland. Eleven is going to be in Cleveland.
The overpriced stuff is stuff that I go to.
Yeah, whatever her name is, but Eleven's going to be actually at Cleveland Comic Con. It's her first Comic Con appearance.
Nice.
Curious if they're going to make her shave her hair off again.
I don't know. Well, for the show, maybe.
For the show, they probably would.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they just let her off.
I'm not planning on going to Comic Con unless we somehow finagle tickets or something. I'm not buying it.
No.
I'm not paying $40 to get nothing.
Yeah. No. So.
Exactly.
But, But I that's all that I have on my list. You guys,
I think we did pretty good.
Yeah, this was all. Like I said at the beginning when we sat down, I was like, you know what? We don't have any major topic, but let's sit down and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we found some stuff to talk about somehow. So, but at this point, Vicky, did you have anything else?
No, just getting ready for the next odd bundle.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's been making and making and making. We just showed you that one new hat thing she made.
I've got six started right now. My little table.
So. But Geeksters, remember, coming up the next week is, or the end of this month is Groundhog Day and the Meeplecast. This week, probably today, I'm going to put up the, on Sunday for you guys, I'm going to put up the event for the Meeplecast so we can get out there a little early. We will have cake. I don't know how we're going to do this. We're going to have cake. One of us will buy
cake. We'll have cake.
One of us will buy cake and have it.
The cake is not a lie, okay? There will be cake.
We'll have like three cupcakes.
It's not cake or death. If you don't show up, you die. No, don't worry about it. There'll be cake.
There'll be cake.
So there will be cake. It is our 2-year anniversary. We want everybody to come out and join us and celebrate with us. Geek Watch 1 is turning 2. Only
terrible 2s.
We had one of those birthday parties yesterday.
Yes, we will move on to volume 3.
We can walk now. We can stumble.
That's right. Hey, if you've ever been to one of Andy's New Year's parties, you can see we definitely know how to stumble.
and we get sent off to Nam.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, and you get to learn about grilled heaters.
Oh my god! That poor hamster!
Did you record the Skeeter stuff with Andy?
I did. There's a
I don't think he, because Andy was asking me, he's like, I was talking about something with Skeeters. I was like, you got to show Andy the Skeeter video.
There's a Skeeter video.
I don't think he remembers the Skeeter video.
Andy doesn't remember the Skeeter.
It exists on Facebook.
He remembers parts of it.
A couple people remember taping that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things people don't remember from that night.
If you go to the Geek, you said those were on the Geek Watch 1 page?
No, because of language. I didn't put it on the Geek Watch 1 page.
Well, if you email Miss Dawn or direct message Miss Dawn, she'll tell you where to find the videos of this.
I'll show you where the Skeeter video exists.
Oh my gosh.
So, Geeksters, remember for all this Geek Watch 1, go to geekwatch1.com. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything else, it's Geek Watch 1. You can always email us, geekwatch1@gmail.com. If you can't find any oddball or contact information, send it to us. Ms. Donald forwarded to who needs to go to. Other than that, we're part of the Tangent Bound Network and the Weeby Geeks Network. And I believe that's it for everybody here. So, Ms. Dawn and for Kylan, for Ms. Vicky and for myself, just remember.
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.